You're listening to episode 23 of the podcast. Welcome back, everybody. Today is a brand new day and I'm bringing you a guest, which is a bit unique to our concept. Usually we interview established content creators, but we're taking a break this week to interview somebody unique. But don't worry, because she has a message for everybody that I think is going to be good for you to hear, especially for those that are in relationships. So guys, without further ado, you're going to find out everything you can from my partner. All that and more, guys, coming right up.
You are listening to the Content Experience Podcast, the podcast for those wanting to learn more about all aspects of content creation and streaming. Each week we sit down with some of your favourite streamers to get to know the story behind the stream and what advice they would give to help build your dream career in content creation. All this with your host, taco lover, sci-fi geek and award-winning tap dancer, the Mike James.
So, welcome back. I want to introduce our guest today. She is my wonderful, wonderful and beautiful fiancé. But I'm going to pass it over to her. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Ashley. Nice to meet you all.
Why don't you tell people a little bit about who Ashley is?
Well, I am Mike's fiancé and we've been together for 5.5 years, which is a long time. I like cats and horses and also chocolate, but you know, let's not go there. I'm just weird.
Very weird.
Very weird.
And she wasn't kidding when she said that she loves cats and horses. She's going to be one of those crazy cat ladies with like frizzy hairs. Like if you imagine the lady from The Simpsons, the crazy cat lady, that is exactly what Ashley is like when she's nagging me or when she's having a go at me. And and I'm not over exaggerating that at all. That is literally, in fact, if anything, it's an under exaggeration, if that's even a word. So Ashley, we've been together for like 5.5 years, but who's counting, right? Well, apparently you are. Even though I do know the date of which we got together, it was the 10th of April, I think.
You think?
I think. I'll have to check my diary on that one. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about your experience with social media? Like, do you follow any like big creators? Is there anybody that you like watching videos of?
There's a couple, yeah. I do like to obviously watch you in my spare time, as you do. There's another couple that I like to watch, more specifically Zombiefoot Jay. He is very cool and has like an awesome voice. Yeah, I don't really get a lot of chance to watch people though, unfortunately, because I work like a lot. And then I'm on call as well, which is fun. But yeah, when I do get to have a bit of downtime, I do like to keep an eye on things and see what's happening in the streaming world.
And when I was asking that question, she was sat behind the microphone going, no, I don't watch anybody. Why are you asking me that question? But she does. She doesn't watch anybody like religiously, but I don't think you've quite discovered that world of like watching YouTubers yet. I know there's a lot of people that will like religiously like tune into YouTubers or streamers, and you haven't really found it. You're more of that person that likes to just browse Instagram. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what kind of things you like on Instagram? Because I actually have no idea. Like, I just see you sitting there just flicking through your phone like 24/7, and then you'll send me things on Instagram that I never actually look at. Will you get off your phone?
I'm looking at Instagram to see what I look at. So, yeah, basically there's like a lot of things about horses, daft little videos of people jumping and then falling off. There's one there of horses in an aeroplane. I didn't even know that existed, so there we go. Other things like hair colours. I really, really like dyeing my hair different. Well, I say I like dyeing my hair. Michael dyes my hair different colours. We've done that since day one, really, haven't we? So...
Yeah, no. I used to tell Ashley to go and get her hair done properly, but like I don't know if this is the same in the US, but for me to go and get a haircut, it costs me about It cost me about £7, which is, I think, about $10 for a haircut. And if Ashley goes for the same thing, but they've all jazzed it up with a cut and blow dry, it costs about five times that amount. Mm. Any basic sort of hair salon. And then on top of that, you've got like the hair dyes and things, and it starts racking up. And it's every time you want to go, like once a month or once every other month, it ends up costing like £90 to £100, which is like $130 or $40. So I sort of was like, why? Like, it can't be that hard to apply, like, hair dye to hair. It's just like painting on a 3D canvas, if you like, where you've got different layers. It's kind of like working in Photoshop with the different layers, but you're just sort of painting on hair dye onto hair. But it turns out it's actually quite difficult, as I miss spots every single time.
Every time.
But she never complains. Well, actually, no, that's a lie. She does complain a hell of a lot. But we are saving like £100 every time. So it's a mistake we can live with.
Yeah.
I think you're... social media experience is sort of what I deem a filthy casual, where you just... Well, actually, I don't want to use the word casual because it's like 24/7, but you just scroll through Instagram and you find, like, different things. Mm. And you're like, you'll just send me it. Like, you always send me... It's always either food-related, hair-related, or animal-related. I always get inboxes on Instagram of that.
Oh, Harry Potter.
Oh, Harry Potter, yeah. We are big fans of Harry Potter. Who's your favourite character in Harry Potter?
Ooh, Luna, I think.
Yeah, I've never actually thought about who my favourite character is. I kind of just like the concept because I am... Obviously, I have a background in TV and film, and I really like that sort of element of... it's got a word and it's just completely escaped me, but it's like... Well, escapism. It's that escapism of, like, the fantasy world where you can, like... You can sort of just picture yourself being thrown into that world, and you're like, wouldn't it be cool if you had a wand and then you could, like, use the killing curse on Ashley when she...
How rude.
..doesn't do the dishes. So obviously the main purpose of today's episode, which, you know, we're probably going to jump in and out of through the course of the episode, but it's kind of like your take on... You know, being related to a streamer. Now, we were laughing about this before we started recording because I was basically going over the premise of what Ashley was going to be talking about, just so she kind of had an idea. And she sort of laughed at me and she was like, you know, it's not like you're dying. It's not like a disease. It's not like... Because I think I used the term, like, come to terms with it. And she was like, it's not something you come to terms with, but... You know, when it comes to working as a career, which you said at the very beginning that you have, you know, you work full time and you are like the breadwinner of this relationship right now. That must suck on your behalf to be the only person bringing in money into the house, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I've come to terms with it.
Air quotes.
Obviously I love my job. I love what I do. Everyone that probably won't know, I work in care with the elderly, and I'm more office-based at the moment, but, I mean, I absolutely love my job, and I couldn't see myself doing anything else. But there are some days where I think, do you know what? I really want to just sit back, watch Harry Potter and eat rubbish food. But I can't because I need to go to work and bring money in. And we've got a house, we've got a cat, I've got a horse, we've got a car, a nice fancy sports car, I might add. And, you know, all these things add up. So I do need to go out to work, and I fully support Mike with what he's doing. Like, if I just turned around and said to him, you know, I can't be bothered going to work today, you need to go and get a job, it's not me, I couldn't do that. It would hurt me to do that, actually. And obviously Mike's just said that I'm the only one bringing in money at the moment, which kind of isn't true, but I bring the majority of money in. And I love my job, you know, I get a decent wage, and I'm more than happy to keep doing that so that Mike can... keep chasing his dream and go towards what he wants to do.
I would love to take a break right now, but we've got to power on just so I could give her a hug. So I'll just pat her on the knee instead, since we're sat next to each other. But by the way, I just want to stress that I didn't pay Ashley to say any of this before we started recording. I didn't say to Ashley that she has to lie. I am doing this as a sort of a heart-to-heart type moment where you guys can truly understand. So I do welcome if Ashley wants to speak her mind on any aspect of like what we've been through. Like, I fully welcome it, and obviously, you know, we can wrestle after the podcast about if she should have said that or not, but for now I do welcome it. So obviously, I like that you said you don't, you know, it's not true that I don't bring in money, you just bring in the majority of money, which, you know, I've got to confirm, you know, the paycheck that I am on compared to you is obviously a great difference. But I mean, how does it make you feel on a day-to-day basis of knowing that there's like friends out there and couples out there that they're both in like 9-to-5 jobs, and you know, they might be hating the jobs, but they're both in 9-to-5 jobs and they are jetting off to like Disney twice a year, or they're like flying out to all different places over like all over the world, and they're getting like, you know, they're having kids and things like that. Like, obviously, I know that you wanted kids like right off the bat, and trust me, if it was up to you, we probably would have had about 8 kids by now. even though we've only been together 5 years and it takes 9 months to have a kid, we probably would have found a way to have about 8 or 9 kids by now if it had been up to you. And a funny story, actually, I know that my dad, shortly after we got together, I know that my dad is a huge fan of all of my content, and he tends to listen to a lot of these podcasts. And I remember one of the first things my dad spoke to me about after we got together was Ashley had just left, and I was in my bedroom, and he came and he was like, "Mike, can we just have a chat?" Now, I know what many of you are thinking, you know, he's giving me the chat, air quote, but it wasn't quite the chat as you would imagine. It was more, "Mike, I think you need to understand that some girls in life will, you know, get with a man just to basically have kids with him. So they get the kids and then they can drain you of all your money." So so the first experience that I had in, you know, not a first relationship, obviously been in many relationships, but it was kind of like, the point of where my dad was kind of saying, just to basically keep my eye on Ashley, because she might be that sort of weird type of girl. Now, he got the first part right. She is definitely a weird girl. But it took her a while, but she respects that, you know, I didn't want kids after day two, where she did. So, but no, obviously, you've got the whole situation of like seeing friends in like both full-time incomes, and they're jetting off and doing this and doing that. And I mean, sometimes you must feel like you wish that we were both in full-time jobs, right?
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie, I do wish that a lot, because I look at other couples and think, oh, well, they're going to, I don't know, Florida for the third time this year. And it kind of gets me down a little bit to think that, well, because I am only kind of like the only one bringing in money, it's like, well, actually, if we wanted to go, we'd have to save up for like 3 or 4 years, because obviously we've got the house to pay for, the car, the cat, etc. But then I sit back and think, do you know what? I don't care about all that stuff. As long as I'm with you and we're happy in the house together, and, you know, we're just together, then that's more than enough for me.
And are you happy with me?
Well, actually, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. No, of course I am. I mean, sometimes you do my head in and I want to just punch you, you know, but I mean, I do, but that's not the point. No, I mean, everyone has their ups and downs, you know. Everyone has relationships that, you know, you don't agree with sometimes, and you just think, well, why are you wanting to do that when I'm wanting to do something else? Or why are you, I don't know, why are you making that for tea when I wanted a takeout? Or, well, I don't know, just daft stuff like that. But no, I mean, I'm more than happy in our situation at the moment. You know, I've got a good job, I've got a good car, which is very fast. I've got the most adorable kitten ever, And I've got you, and you support me 100%, just as I support you 100%, and I couldn't ask for anything more.
And I think it's also worth mentioning, now this isn't a way of like equaling the playing fields, I'm just bringing this up so that people listening to this kind of get sort of more of the bigger picture, but you're technically classed as disabled, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and the whole history of what you've gone through?
Right, so basically I've been ill most of my life, just daft things like infections, sickness bugs that I picked up really, really easily. And my granddad died February 2015, so I was with Mike at this point. And literally like a week or so after, I woke up and my ankle was like three times the size it should have been. And I couldn't walk on it. I was in tears with the pain. And I just thought, you know, something is not right here. Anyway, I went to the doctors and they said it was, I don't know, something like gout or something. So they gave me some tablets and, you know, said basically on your way. So that was fine. And then the week after that, my knee started to play up and it was, again, massively swollen. And I was in pain. I couldn't walk. I couldn't drive. And at this point I had a horse and I was so, so upset because I wasn't able to do anything with her. I wasn't able to ride. I wasn't even able to bring her in from the field. So I went back to the doctors and this went on for about 5 or 6 weeks. Every single week it was something different that was hurting. So it went from my ankle to my knee to my hip to then my elbows and my shoulder. And then it started doing the same on the other side of my body as well. And basically they gave me all these different painkillers, all these different tablets and said, you know, we don't know what it is, so we're going to send you to the hospital. So then the hospital appointment came through, I think it was like 3 months down the line. By this point, I was completely bedbound. Mike had to physically help me in and out of bed. He had to help me dress, help me wash, help me do everything. I couldn't even cut up my own food. Like, that's how bad it was. And I mean, I'm getting emotional now just thinking about it. But basically, I went to the hospital and he took one look at me and said, I've got rheumatoid arthritis. And the first question he said after that was, how do you feel about that? And I was just like, yeah, fine. You know, just probably hasn't hit me yet. But so I walked out with my walking stick in my hand and got in the car. And then I just sort of sat there and went, oh, my God. And then that was it. I just cried and cried and cried. But
and then,
you know,
cried a little bit more. And then a little bit more. And then actually a little bit more.
yeah. But then I thought, you know what? At least I've got a diagnosis now and they can put me on the correct tablets and, you know, I can start getting better. Then I found out it was incurable. So basically I'm going to be on tablets for the rest of my life. And then I was on injections every week to try and keep the disease at bay. But then from that comes other bodily issues, for lack of better phrase. So on top of the RA, I've also got fibromyalgia. I've got osteoarthritis. I've got Raynaud's, Sjogren's. God, what else have I got? An MSK disorder.
Basically, she's broken.
I am a very broken toy right now. But, no, but I mean, like, compared to the amount of tablets that I was on, I take 4 a night now, and that's literally it. Oh, migraines as well, that's a really big one. When I do have migraines, that really, really knocks me for six. But, yeah, again, more tablets, just push them through my body and try and keep going. But the good news is that I can now ride again. I've got a horse again. I'm able to do whatever I want with her. I can drive. You know, I can actually get myself up and out of bed on a morning, which is always good. And the only time I ever really need help is if I go through a flare-up, which is normally brought on by stress or, you know, things that cause stress, like Michael.
But yeah, the point is that, you know, there was a period of a few years where It sort of feels like we're explaining it as a trade off, but it's not really a trade off. So there was a couple of years where I looked after Ashley, and I still do. Obviously, I love her, and I'm going to look after her until, you know, till death do us part. I think is the words that are usually used in this situation. But yeah, I absolutely love Ashley, and I adore Ashley, and she's everything you could ask for in a woman.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
She did lie to me, though, when we first got together. Since we're sort of in a gaming sense now,
oh dear,
she already knows what's coming. So she told me, when we were talking before we got together, that she plays Minecraft. So I was like, she's a gamer girl. And I already know that many guys that will listen to this in the future are sort of sitting there, and you'll be like, oh, he's got a good one. But that's until I actually started playing Minecraft with her. And the words, well, I don't like playing Minecraft because when the zombies and creepers and stuff come out at night, it scares me.
I genuinely did used to scream whenever they came around.
So I put it on peaceful, and I was like, right, let's build our dream home in Minecraft. I think it took a whole 2.5 minutes before Ashley had tabbed out and started browsing Facebook, and just wasn't interested and left me to do everything. So you did actually lie to me a little bit on the gamer front. Apparently she likes racing games, but I daren't even try any racing games now out of fear of that. She says, well, I don't actually like racing games.
I love racing games, but do you know what the thing is, right? Right now, this is our life, right? We are head to head every day playing chess.
On Android.
We are playing chess. So it's still a game in all technicality. And I might accidentally keep winning. So, you know, I'm enjoying it. Michael, however, is not.
I threw my phone, like, physically. I'm not exaggerating. I physically threw my phone on the ground the other day because I was just sick of playing against Ashley. Now, I have this thing where Ashley always sort of reads one move ahead, which I know is what you're supposed to do in chess. And I try and do that. And then what I do is I make a move. But as soon as I confirm that move and my piece moves, I look at the board and I'm like, ah! Poop. I shouldn't have done that. I should not have done that. And I noticed that by doing that, I sort of realised the next step that Ashley's going to take. And another mistake I keep making in chess as well is I'll be like, oh, king's in the open. I'll send my queen in. And I'll send my queen in right next to the square that the king is in. And then I completely forget in my head that she can just move the king one space in any direction. And it just takes my queen, and that's happened to
every
me like
time.
Three times now, and I do it with other pieces too, and it's just super, super frustrating.
Oh, I think it's quite fun.
However, mentioning that, I did a little bit cane your butt at Monopoly the other day.
Yeah.
On a major scale.
Just a little major scale.
And by major scale, I mean I pretty much had every note possible in the game sat in front of me by the end of it, with pretty much over half of the board. And yeah, it was a good game. It was a good game.
Yeah.
But so yeah, let's move on a little bit. So obviously, you know, I have been streaming now for a year and a half, and you've been involved in some of that, right? Because we used to do the Fiancé Fridays.
Yeah.
That I used to love and I thought you loved, but obviously with even with a full-time work, it still doesn't... I mean, it does give you a sort of excuse because you are very, very tired when you get home from work at 6 o'clock. So I can't really complain, but it was such a shame that we couldn't continue those Fiancé Fridays because you struggle a little bit, don't you, with putting yourself on camera. Like, even before
massively.
We started recording this, you were like, I don't have to go on camera, do I? And I was like, yes. But I was only joking that we haven't got the camera turned on, and I'm quite thankful for that. I'm sat naked, but... So
let's move on from that.
So why don't you tell us what it is you don't like about being on camera?
I mean, like, going back to the Fiancé Fridays, I absolutely love them. Like, they were so fun. You know, I was able to interact with, like, everyone, and it was just great. But then obviously I got a new job, which meant that I am either on call or just completely knackered by the end of the week. And it just got too much, really. So, you know, I do apologise, guys. I it's not you, it's me. But, no, I mean, it's not like that I don't like going on... Well, no, I don't like going in front of a camera. It's more like I don't want people to have this sort of, like, image of me in the head where you're like, oh, yeah, she's a great fiancé, she's beautiful, she's gorgeous, blah, blah, blah. And then I get on the camera and they're like, oh, my God, she is not what we were expecting. And it's just the fear of, like, being sort of that image in people's heads. And then when they actually do see me, they're like, ugh, what is that? And that is what really, really scares me. Like, I don't even like listening to my own voice. So this...
Yeah, like, but nobody likes listening. I only I don't like it. I am only used to listening to my own voice because I've made YouTube videos and done this sort of thing for about 10 years of my life. So doing this for me and listening back to my own voice is kind of like you riding a horse. Like, it's kind of like I am so used to listening back to my voice and... You know, in fact, I do sympathise a bit because I have only recently started using, like, my face on my YouTube videos, which has been, something which took me literally about a year to get over and start doing. It was a very, very difficult time for me. But how did you feel when I came to you and first explained streaming? Do you remember that time when I started? Like,
yeah, I mean, like, I was a bit like, oh... Right, that's interesting.
Did you understand it?
Not really.
Do you still understand it?
Not really. No, I mean, obviously, like, I used to watch you every night. I don't now because I either forget to put you on or I just fall asleep straight away.
Well, I stream during the day now.
That's not the point. Also that, which is when I'm at work, so, you know, that doesn't count. But no, like, when you sort of first introduced it to me, I was like, I remember just thinking... What on earth is he doing? But then, like, once I watched a few and, you know, you got me involved, I was like, actually, this is a really good way of, you know, being... What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know. You're sort of just acting with your hands.
Flailing my arms everywhere. Yeah, it's like, it's a good way of, you know, sort of working, I suppose, because, you know, you're entertaining people, you're also entertaining yourself, and... It just means that you're having fun. And at the end of the day, you know, life is all about having fun. So, yeah. It was weird, but now it's fun. For you, not me. Just going to put that out there.
Did you think it helped you understand the concept of streaming as a job? Like, you know, not as a job and as a business. Did it help by involving you... in some of the streams and sort of talking to you about the process behind it and the business behind it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I remember when you first started and I was just... I was literally like, what on earth is he doing? But then the more you did it and the more I got involved as well, you know, like, putting me on in front of the camera and playing games with people, I was like, wow, I can actually understand why he wants to do that now because it's really, really fun. And although it's weird, like... sort of talking to yourself when you're not really, but like you're just sort of like talking out loud to yourself, I was like, do you know what, that is actually like, it's really good because it boosts your confidence, but then it also just shows everyone else that, you know, you're this fun, quirky guy who... Stop laughing.
No, I'm laughing because it's been obviously some people know that I work for a successful Etsy seller and YouTuber and Instagrammer called Catnip. That's my brother's fiance, and she's approaching the 100,000 sub mark very, very fast. And you know, kudos to her, but she has been speaking to me recently because apparently when I type, and you'll be able to sort of pick up on this, but apparently as I type, and I didn't know I did this, but I put full stops at the end of like every sentence which, you know, is a lot of people listening to this are going to be like, well, yeah, that's what you do, the full stop goes at the end of a sentence. But apparently full stops on the end of sentences on the internet tend to be quite...
aggressive.
aggressive. They tend to be quite aggressive and quite blunt. And apparently when I'm talking to people, I come across quite blunt. So I'm really trying hard to change the way that I type online. And it comes from when I was in school, I never ever used to use grammar and punctuation correctly.
You still don't.
Rude. So it got drilled into my head to use it properly and use it properly and use it properly. Full stops at the end, capital letters at the beginning, all the time. And it just got to a point at the end of it that by the time I got into college and university, that I just got absolutely hounded. That it just got drilled into my head that I just do it naturally. So if I've ever spoken to you over the internet via text and I've put a full stop at the end of it and you think that I'm upset or blunt, just know that I never take life seriously.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I think I'm the serious one in this relationship.
See, I think you are and you aren't. I think in a relationship you always have two people. You have the realist and you've got the dreamer. And I feel like you're the realist. You're the one that keeps it real, yo. And I'm the one that is dreaming about all of the ways of which we can make money, all of the ways that we can invest money and we can build on our capital and we can expand. And I feel like you're the one that keeps it real and keeps me in line. And I'm the one that tries to, you know, take us above. Like, if you imagine life being this line, you're the one that is like... Not dragging us below the line, but you're like, you being too real, then me dreaming too big kind of gets cancelled out because you keep me down.
Grounded.
And I keep you up at the level of, you know, like inspiring you to do more, but keeping it real sort of thing, so that we end up on this straight line. Stop laughing. I'm trying my best here to create a good metaphor.
Not laughing.
You are laughing.
No.
So yeah, obviously, it was a big part, wasn't it, of getting you to understand streaming and getting you involved and sort of speaking to you about.
Yeah, but I'm glad you did, because otherwise I'd still be like, what is he doing? But you know, it opened my eyes to the streaming community and, you know, the amount of support that you get from people. And honestly, I was baffled when, like, you had however many viewers and they were donating however many bits and then having subs and stuff. And I was literally like, oh my God, like, you're really good at this. But, yeah, no, it's good to know and understand what you're doing on a daily basis. You know, while I'm slaving away at work, you know. Completely.
But I think that takes us on to the next sort of thing to discuss, though, because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I still think that deep down there's a little spark of you that still thinks that all I do is sit at home and do nothing every day. And I can see you smiling, and I know that it's true. There's a small spark in there, despite what we've just spoken about. I know that you think that it's easy and that we sit up, that streamers in general sit at home doing nothing.
Not streamers in general, just you.
That's rude. But obviously, content creation is, by all, you know, is not an easy feat. And a lot of people, if you find streaming and content creation in general easy, then you're probably not trying hard enough and you're probably never going to get anywhere. Because I was actually talking about this last night with you, wasn't I? Where I was sort of saying that, you know, content creation is something that I do the moment that I wake up to the moment that I go to bed. And then I had a lot, like, small breaks during the day, like when you get home from work to cook dinner and things like that. And a lot of content creation isn't just the front end of physically making things like what we're doing now. It's all the back end stuff that you don't see, which I think is probably somewhere where I could get you involved a little bit more so that you understand. Like, for example, this podcast, once I finish recording, like, you can go downstairs and carry on eating sweets and watching Orange Is the New Black, but I've got to take this podcast and then I've got to edit it, then I've got to upload it to Anchor, then I've got to write out the description, and the description has to be, you know, about an A4 page worth of words for search engine optimization. I've got to think of a title, then I've got to put it out there, then I've got to take a sound clip, and then I've got to edit the sound clip into like a video and use like a picture of us two with like a sound wave animation on it or something, and then I've got to upload it to Twitter, and then I've got to use Twitter to try and market it, and then I've got to put it on Patreon and things like that. So it's not just a case of like I'm recording this and then uploading it and it's done. It's like there's
everything in between, there's
a lot of back end work that I think a lot of people don't see, and I feel like you and many other people, and you know, it's understandable from one angle, but I think part of it is just educating people in and getting them involved a little bit, and just you've got to approach it by respecting the boundaries, and rather than me going to Ashley and saying, oh Ashley, I've got, you know, I'm going down this career route of just playing games and then uploading it to YouTube, it's like, If I came to you and said that, like, oh, I'm just going to go and play some computer games and upload it to YouTube, like, I'm pretty sure that you would look at me and be like, I'm leaving this man.
I don't think I'd go quite that far. I'd probably look at you as if to say, I'm going to throw a plate at your head. But, you know, I wouldn't leave you as such. No, but I mean, like, what you've just said there about all the behind-the-scenes stuff, like, I wouldn't have any idea that you were doing all that. To me, you just record stuff and then upload it, and then that's it. And I didn't understand why you had to sit here for hours on end every day when you've done your stream and then, like, you've finished, and then I just thought that was it. But, you know, obviously you've talked about educating people and telling people what it is that you're actually doing, which is good, because I had no idea that you've got all this other stuff to do. Like, I just thought, oh yeah, we'll record a podcast thing and then, you know, upload it and be on your way. And obviously that's not the case.
Yeah, it's like YouTube videos as well. Like, it takes me about 5 to 10 minutes to draft the sort of structure of the video. Then it takes me 10 to 15 minutes to record the video. Then it takes me about an hour, sometimes a bit longer, but about an hour to 3 hours, depending on the length of the video, to edit it down, edit out all the ums and ahs, and, you know, getting the best if I've, like, stopped because of a bad take, and then I need to go back and record certain bits, you know, cutting and chopping, exporting it, and then, so by this point, you've already spent a good two to three hours by thinking of the concept, recording it. Now you've got to put it on YouTube and you've got to do all the search engine optimization. You've got to look at the best title. Then you've got to write out the full description. Then you've got to do the meta tags so that people can find the video on YouTube. Then you've got to create the thumbnail and upload the thumbnail for the video so that people can see a nice visual thumbnail. And then you have to take the YouTube video and then you've got to go over to things like Discord and Twitter and post it there, maybe take a clip of the footage and post a clip, maybe ask the streaming community a question so that it drives engagement. So it's constantly thinking and it's constantly marketing and building and creating. And it's, I mean, I absolutely love it, but it is certainly not an easy process where you sit down for 10 minutes and record, I don't know, 10 minutes of Minecraft, and then it's like, yay, Minecraft video. Like, if life was that easy, right?
Yeah.
So I think there is a lot to it, and I think you could agree that there's a lot to it that people, I think, could use a bit more education about. But yeah. I mean, how do you do that though? Like, I want you to sort of guide people here, because you're sitting and watching it from the sidelines, so you're not involved. So how would it make you understand, like, coming to you and trying to explain all that to you? Like, what is the best way to approach you?
Me personally, I am a visual learner, so if you were going to show me, you know, behind the scene things or whatever, it would be best to either do a video about it, you know, record what it is you do after you've done, say, like, I don't know, you're doing a YouTube video, like, obviously show the recording of that, but then also record your screen if you can, and show me exactly what it is you do, like, after that. So, because, like I said, I just thought, you know, you record things, then you upload them, and that was it. But I, you know, I learn from watching things. So I think if it was me, if you just did, like, a little video and said, you know, if you're wondering about what I've been doing all day, watch this. And then, you know, you go through everything one by one. It would be, like, so much easier rather than me thinking, oh, well, you know, what have you done all day? You've been at home. You haven't done the dishes. You haven't done the hoovering. But then, obviously, there's more about your job that I don't know about. And if I knew that, then maybe I wouldn't scream at you every day.
Well, I do want to highlight that she doesn't scream at me. I mean, I do all of the housework and all of the cooking. But no, don't pull a shock. I'm not saying that as if you, like, because I think we've got to flip the coin here, and I need to admit that I understand and respect that you are grafting your ass so that I can do what I love. So the best way that I can sort of repay that favour, if you like, is by cooking great meals and terribly cleaning the house to a point. It actually gets to a point where we try and clean the house and keep on top of it, but it over time, because both Ashley and I are very practical people. Like, if I am going to use something every day, why put it away for the fact that I'm going to get it out the next day?
Like, why make the bed when you're just going to go lie in it later on?
I think it's like a mix of laziness and practicality.
Practicality.
Yeah, but I'm definitely thinking more 90% practicality. but, you know, I think we've discussed some great points in here, and I really hope that somebody can take something away from this, because it's not just partners that, you know, streamers have to try and convince. It's everybody in the outside world that doesn't understand online businesses and online entrepreneurship. Because at the end of the day, streaming is a business. It's not fun. It's a business. I mean, it's fun if you do it as a hobby, but isn't everything. Photography, horse riding. But imagine you taking horse riding and trying to become a professional dressage. I was going to say a professional dressage player, but you're not a player. A professional dressage rider. Like, can you imagine the level of commitment that you would need it? Like, imagine going into the arena with the horse and doing dressage as a bit of a hobby and a bit of a laugh. It's easy, right? It's fun and easy. Yeah. But imagine taking that to a professional level and competing every weekend and taking the horse places, and then you've got to practice every day, and then you've got to do things every day, and you've got to work on certain techniques. So you've got to work on your own dress code, you've got to work on the horse, you've got to work on the ground moves, you've got to work on the team, you've got to work on absolutely everything, to a point of where it's just constantly working on something that's going to help you create a nice dressage piece in the arena. And it's kind of the same concept. So when I start, like, when I wake up in the morning and I start creating content, it's not a case of, oh, I'll boot up a game and I'll go and have some fun. It's a case of, right, I need a post on Twitter, because I post on Twitter like every 2 hours, or at least I try to anyway. I try to post like every 2 to 3 hours, always trying to think, right, what can drive engagement? What can build my brand? What can I say? What opinions do I have that I want to voice to the community and things like that? And how can I build my stature as a creator on Twitter? And then you've got Instagram, but I don't personally use Instagram all that much, because it's a picture oriented platform, and yes, I'm a photographer, but it's a lot more, like, you've kind of got to commit to Instagram, and I'd rather commit to Twitter over Instagram, just because it's better for the sort of business that I'm in. But yeah, generally overall, I think it's about education, and I really think that it's not been an easy journey for both of us, really, has it? Especially for me as a creator, and you working and trying to understand what it is that I'm doing. And we spoke last night about, you know, some changes that might be happening and things that we want to maybe do in a couple of months if we want to step things up. So I think overall, though, I think we're both, I mean, I don't know, I can only speak for myself. I am happy, you know, with the way things are. And I mean, you've said you're happy, right?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you know, it's difficult for me to understand exactly what goes on while I'm not
Ashley
here.
Ashley wonders where to begin. Harry Potter reference.
Oh, he went there. Because obviously I'm not here. I don't watch what you're doing. I don't understand what you're doing. But now that you've told me, I am beginning to understand more. And it's not just a case of going on your computer, playing a game, and then, you know, doing whatever it is I thought you did. There's so much more than that. And I mean, like, I talk about having it hard at work, but it sounds like you have it quite hard as well. And I think...
Oh, and don't forget the point where everything that you do as a streamer and as a creator is in the public eye. So everything you do gets criticised by, I think I've got 6,300 Twitter followers. So, yeah, imagine getting criticised by 6,300 different people on this planet for everything that you ever do. Plus the people that discover you when you upload a new YouTube video and stuff like that, and when every time you stream. So, yeah, just something to consider.
I mean, there's definitely a lot more going on than I thought there was. And, you know, I am beginning to understand that now. And it's better for both of us that I understand that, rather than me just thinking, you know, I work 8:30 till 5, then I've got on call to do, so I'm doing all the work while you get to just sit at home and play. And it's not a case of that. It's, you know, I go out and do work, whatever, but you also sit here and do work as well. And, you know, it's just better that I understand that for the both of us.
But yeah, I've noticed that Ashley is starting to flag a bit now. So what I'm going to do, guys, is I'm going to go and wrap this up. Now, Ashley doesn't have any particular social media that you can really follow her on. I mean, you could go and follow her on Instagram. I don't know if she wants that. Do you want people to follow you on Instagram?
Ashley the Unicorn.
So yeah, if you want to follow Ashley on Instagram, you can go and do that. Ashley the Unicorn. You can go and follow her and you'll get cat pictures, life pictures, and general terribleness of that is. But no, I mean, I know that we're wrapping things up. How have you found this podcast experience? Because this is definitely something new for me to sit and talk to my partner. Now, it's easy to talk to other content creators about their journeys, but talking to the partner is definitely more difficult. So how have you found this experience?
Definitely eye-opening. I'm really glad that we've done it, though, because, like, I was really nervous. But, like, to know that you go through this every week, you know, it's really opened my eyes a lot. And I've quite enjoyed it, to be honest. Although I am getting very tired now, so I think I might need to go for a nap.
Do you think there might be more Mike and Ashley podcasts? Do you think we could do a new podcast project in the down the line? Maybe every Saturday we could do dinner time with Mash or something.
Oh God, you called us Mash.
Dinner with Mash.
Oh no!
And we could just sit down every Saturday and talk about our week and talk about life and feelings. Yeah. And
yeah, I think that would be good, and it will also help us to, like, not open up to each other, but, like, you know, try and, I mean, it's not even understanding each other more, it's like, you know, it's just different from talking one-to-one as we normally would. Like, it feels more almost like more professional, but, like,
a bit like a news interview, like. Yeah, where it's casual, it's finding out about life, but it's not serious to where it's like a job interview.
Yeah, let's go with that.
As she looks up in confusion. But yeah, I do want to thank you guys for listening to this week's podcast episode. There won't be the typical outro. That I record every week, but I just want to thank you guys for listening. This has been something a little bit different, but hopefully you guys can understand the concept of this episode and take something from it. Take away that, you know, sometimes you've just got to sit down with people and explain to them the business behind it and the business choices and the sort of work that you have to go through. But I've really enjoyed this episode, guys. I really thank you for joining us on this journey. Do you want to say bye to anybody, Ashley?
Bye, everybody.
Ow. All right, I'm going to go clean my ears out. But yeah, thank you for listening, guys. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I'll see you guys in the next podcast episode next Wednesday. Thank you very much.
See you later.